The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he points his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. I begin reading at verse 51. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
How many of you go to school? I know you. Some of you go, yeah, okay. And you know that if you're absent from school, you have to take a note for excuse, don't you? Well, they used to have to. When I was teaching, they did. Anyway, I brought with me this morning some of my favorites. Here's one. "Please excuse Mary B. for missing school. We forgot to get the Sunday paper from the box, and when we found it, we thought it was Sunday." And here's another one. "J.D. didn't come to school yesterday because he was feeling like he was going to be sick. Thankfully, he wasn't." There's a whole bunch more, but I mean, some of these are great. "My daughter's absence is excusable for yesterday. It was take your daughter to work day. Since I don't have a job, I made her stay home and help with the housework." And one more. "Please excuse my son for being absent. I forgot to wake him up and didn't find him until I started making the beds. Then it was too late." We all make excuses. And in our in the reading that Pastor read a while ago, Jesus was given some excuses too. Excuses are sometimes not excusable, and Jesus kindly told us that. Jesus was calling people who would give up everything, family, friends, better job, to follow him. Jesus is still calling us today. He wants us to follow him. And the question we have to think about is, are we going to make an excuse, or are we going to follow Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, when you call us, may we never offer excuses. May we be willing to give up everything to follow you. Amen. Okay. See you next time. Okay, you can go back.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson for today, the Old Testament reading, Elijah is given a tough mission, and he follows it as best he can. But he's feeling very dejected. What had happened was is that Elijah was given that mission to proclaim the word of God to the people in Judah and Israel, but they didn't want to hear it because many of the people were worshiping Baal. Even King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were followers of Baal. And as a result of that mission, all the prophets of Baal were destroyed, but it made Queen Jezebel very angry. And so she wanted to take Elijah's life. He was able to escape and to flee, and he went up to a high mountain, but he was feeling dejected. He was feeling beaten. He had followed what God had told him to do. He had carried out that mission, and yet now look, his life was threatened. He was all alone. He was out in the wilderness. He just wanted to die. But God gives him hope, and God comes to him in the stillness of that mountain, and he says, there are still many who are faithful in the kingdom. And I want to give you another mission. And this time he was commissioned to go and anoint a new king in Israel and to anoint a new king in Judah and then also to anoint a successor to himself. Elijah was to be his successor. Tough missions for Elijah to go through. It's not always easy following what God wants us to do. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is going off to do his tough mission. There's a turning point here in Luke's gospel. Luke says it has come time, or Jesus says it's come time to head towards Jerusalem, to do the final thing that he was supposed to do. He had been out about teaching and preaching and proclaiming the word of God, that the kingdom of God was at hand. Most of that ministry now is behind him, and he sets his face towards Jerusalem. And he does not want to be sidetracked for any reason. He's heading towards Jerusalem. He goes through a village, but the village of Samaritans reject him. But he goes on. He moves on. And as he's moving along the road, there's still people who want to follow him. Because again, Jesus has become very popular with most of the common people. People have seen the wonderful things that he could do. They've seen the signs of God. They've seen the miracles. They've heard him preach. They've heard him teach. And they're ready to follow him. They're excited about that. And so a man comes running up. Jesus, I want to come follow you. I'll follow you wherever you go. But Jesus is a bit skeptical here. Something maybe in the way the man said it tipped him off. Maybe the man was just there to get on the bandwagon. You know, this looks like fun. Here is an important guy. I got a chance to join him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have some fun. And so he wants to go along with Jesus. But Jesus lets him know right then and there, it's not all a rosy picture. To follow me is tough. I'm going to Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, the religious leaders don't like me. And eventually then he does make it to Jerusalem, and you know what happens. He is arrested. He is tortured. He is hung on a cross to die. And then he is raised from the dead. It's not easy. It's not an easy mission. For us too, when Christ calls us into mission, we think, yes, I'm going to help. I want to be a part of it. Why do we have faith? We ask ourselves maybe that. That's a question that we ask our faith. Is it for me? Is my faith for me? Or is it really, truly the mission of Christ? And that mission is to go out and proclaim Jesus Christ. And when we do that, sometimes we run into stumbling blocks. Sometimes people just don't want to listen to us. Sometimes people laugh at us. Sometimes people actually get mad at us. For many people across the world, if they proclaim that message of Christ, their life is actually threatened. To follow Jesus doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to be rosy. Following Jesus sometimes is tough, making hard choices. Jesus was serious about his mission of going to Jerusalem. He was serious about that mission of redeeming humankind, making them right once again for God. As Jesus travels along, he sees another man and he says, "Follow me." And the man is ready to go and he says, "Yes, I will come follow you, but first I need to go bury my father." And Jesus tells him, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Tough sayings here today in this gospel lesson. Let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus was focused on his mission. There was no time to mess around. Funerals in that day and time would take days, maybe even up to a week. Jesus didn't have time for that. He needed to get to Jerusalem. He had his mission to accomplish. He had the will of God to do, and he didn't want to dilly-dally around. There was a businessman who, in a distant city, had some clients who were looking at maybe signing a contract, and if this young businessman could have this contract signed, it would be a great boost to his career. He would probably get a good promotion, and maybe his salary would even double. So he was excited about traveling to this distant city to speak with these potential clients. And so he got to the airport early and he was waiting around, but then he was starting to get a little hungry. And he thought, "I'm not sure if this flight serves any kind of snacks. Maybe I better go get some before I board the plane." And so he went off searching for a vending machine. He found a vending machine, but there were several other people in line in front of him. And so he waited in line to get his snacks. And when he got there, he realized, oh, he didn't have enough change. He didn't have the right kind of change. So he went looking to find some place where he could make some change. But he had to stand in line for that one too. Well, he got his change, went back to the vending machine, and once again, there were other people standing around waiting to get onto that vending machine. Finally, he got there, and he put his change in, and the machine didn't want to work, so he banged around on it a little bit, and finally his snacks came out. So he grabbed them, and he went back to the waiting area for his departure on the plane. But as he got there, he noticed out the window his plane was starting to taxi away. He had missed his flight. He had missed his opportunity. And as that plane went out on the runway and took off and got up to cruising speed, the first thing that the stewardess did was pulled out the cart and served snacks to everyone. Jesus didn't have time to mess around, to wait. And that's the same for us too. When Jesus calls us into ministry, there always seems to be some kind of excuses. And I know Beverly had some great ones this morning of school students. But we can always come up with something of why I can't just do it right then and there. There's always something else in the way. We want to follow Jesus. We want to do what Jesus wants us to do. But there's always something else that kind of delays us and we miss the opportunities. Another person that Jesus saw coming along the way also wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus tells him, or the man says, "I'll follow you, but first let me go home and say goodbye to all my friends and to all my family, and then I'll come follow you." And Jesus tells him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." It'd be like us trying to drive down the highway at 60 miles an hour, heading towards our destination, but never looking forward, always looking backwards to see where we have been. What's the likelihood you're going to get where you're going if you're only looking backwards? You'll know when you crash. You'll know what you did wrong, but you're never going to get there. When we always look over our shoulders at what's in the past, of what has happened, or we look back at our accomplishments and think we've done well for ourselves, that we don't need to do anymore, we miss out and we do end up crashing. For Jesus, he was headed in that direction of Jerusalem. He had a mission to accomplish. There was no sidetracking. There was no deviations, but he was heading straight there. He had his face set towards Jerusalem. Some tough sayings in our gospel lesson this morning as Jesus makes replies to these people who would volunteer, who would help Jesus, but again, they don't understand that mission, that commitment that it takes to be a follower of Christ. It's not always going to go easy. There's going to be other things that crop up that want to distract our attention. There's other things that want to sidetrack us. But Jesus calls us straight into mission. Maybe another way of looking at this is to ask the question, what kind of God would you want to have? Would you want a God who is not serious about you or about caring for the world? Would you want a God who is sidetracked on a regular basis? Would you want a God who doesn't pay attention to you, who only wants to do for himself? Jesus gave everything he had for us. And that is the mission that he calls us into as well. To keep everything in focus. To keep God in the forefront. To keep God in the focus. And do what he calls us to do. Amen.